Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour. And, of course, this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030. Or you can always visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
We do have a little bit of breaking news before we get to Bologna Salami, Dan.
Okay.
I apologize.
Yes.
U of L has named its new university president.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Kim Schatzel, S-C-H-A-T-Z-E-L. She is currently the president of Towson University, which is in Baltimore. And you ready for this?
Yes.
Guess where she went to school?
UK.
Michigan State. How about that?
So we got, we don't. We,
and she and I were on campus at the same time. How about that? at least one of us is making something of themselves. That's good. There you go.
So I'm guessing, unlike the president at UK, she won't be on the football field shaking hands with Satterfield after the Governor's Cup.
I imagine she'd like to shake the hand of a winning coach, so no. All right, time for Bologna or Salami.
No lyrics to this music either.
Well, this is background music. Have you ever heard game show background music with lyrics?
Oh, everyone's favorite cold cut day. Let's go. And of course, Bologna or Salami. It is Which Wednesday. Thanks to Jason and his team bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. Get carry out, curbside, or delivery from Hurstbourne or Brownsburg Crossing. Lunch, dinner, your next tailgate. Fully staffed, open 7 days a week, both locations, online or on the app. Which superior sandwiches?
Okay, first question. Bologna or salami, since we're back to that instead of turkey or tofu.
There you go.
Yes.
Poor Avery.
Bologna or salami.
Yeah.
I don't need to change words. Hudson Card from Texas will transfer to Kentucky.
Ooh. Oh, that's a... I'm going to go Bologna.
Ooh, okay.
I think Kentucky has to get their house in order. I think they have to let people know what style they're going to play. There has been some discussion that maybe this offense that Kentucky's been running the last couple of years isn't right in Mark's wheelhouse, and he's going to go to some other type of pro offense, and you don't have a coordinator. So I think there's a lot of things that have to happen at Kentucky before any quarterback considers transferring to Kentucky. So I'm going to go Bologna on that one.
That's a good question to kick us off. I'll go Salami because he looks like a UK quarterback, and mostly just based on his looks. I think he'll end up at UK. I think actually all of the things do add up for him. He's 6'2". I think that he looks like an SEC quarterback that way. And I think that they'll make the right kinds of moves, get the right kind of NIL money together for him to end up at Kentucky. So give me Hudson Card as the starter for UK next year.
Well, real quick, I'm sorry, Avery, for interrupting. Real quick, if you're a quarterback and you have entered the transfer portal and one of the destinations that you have on your list is Lexington, Kentucky, would it concern you that Kentucky was like 3 from the bottom as far as sacks allowed?
Where is Will Levis going to get drafted?
I don't know. It looks like probably the middle of the first round.
Okay, that's good enough for me. I'm Hudson Card, and I approve this message.
All right, Avery, go ahead.
Okay, bologna or salami? Brian Hartline from Ohio State will be the next Kentucky offensive coordinator.
I don't know. They had a list on the Herald Leader website this morning of about 5 people, one of which was Liam Cohen coming back from the Rams. I don't that I think is probably big time baloney. I'm going to go baloney because I think there's a half a dozen people out there that Kentucky will be looking at, so that gives him a 1-6 or 1-8 chance. So I'll go baloney.
Hartline is the passing game coordinator at Ohio State. I think that you go. I think it's more likely that it's not him. I'll go baloney just because that's just one dude. I actually think Liam Cohen's more likely than Brian Hartline to take the job. Actually. And if I'm Brian Hartline, I don't want anything to do with being in the same room as Mark Stoops. Because if you're a passing game coordinator, why in the hell would you go to Kentucky?
I mean,
Stoops hates throwing the ball. So I wouldn't go anywhere near it. Liam Cohen makes a ton of sense to me. The Dan Mullen thing, this article, Dan, reads like they're getting their information from inside the program about who they want to get. And that's who the top 5 is. These are the people we're interested in. Go ahead and publish it for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's that's one of the perks they get for covering for the program.
No, that's right.
They get information leaked to them. But
the interesting name on this list to me actually is Chip Lindsey, who's the offensive coordinator at UCF. Like, that's the kind of guy that actually you should go get, is a college coordinator who's making a step into a bigger conference. Now, they're going to the Big 12, so maybe he wants to stay and do that. But Kentucky's a better job than UCF. And so if you can go get a guy like that, that one wouldn't bother me. But I'll go baloney, because if I'm a passing guy, I want nothing to do with working with Mark Stoops.
One of the things they said about Hartline, the Ohio State guy, is that he's also a big-time recruiter. So that might be a chip in his direction.
Okay, next question. Louisville women's basketball beats Ohio State tonight.
Ooh, go ahead, Louie.
That is big-time baloney. Jeff Walls has had to construct his teams recently through the transfer portal. Listen to me talking women's hoops. And it takes them a bit to get cohesive. He really, I mean, he struck gold last year with the roster he was able to put together. I don't think they're as good as last year, number one. And number two, I think it's going to take them longer to get this unit more cohesive. When you lose to South Dakota State by 10, when you lose to a Gonzaga team, I understand they just beat Longwood literally 100-37. They're going to have a great crowd down there tonight. Ohio State, though, legitimate top 5 team. I think Ohio State comes in. I think they win by 8 or 9 points tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I don't follow U of L women's basketball that closely. I know they've lost to a couple of teams that they didn't expect to lose to. But the one thing I keep going back to, Louie, is that Coach Walls is spending time watching the men practice. And I think that's been a real deterrent to his program.
Massive detriment. No, it's for me, it's more about Ohio State having a cohesive team right now. They've already beaten Tennessee this year, for example. I think it's more about that than it is about Louisville long term this season. I think they'll be a top 20 team type team all season. And I love that that's a down season for the women's basketball team here. That's how good he's got it going over there.
Yes, but, exactly.
Right. And so to me, though, I think, again, building through the transfer portal, a different thing in college sports. It's going to take a minute for them to get all their pieces in order. So I'll go ahead and take the Buckeyes here.
Okay. Bologna or salami? Brian Brown gets fired from Louisville.
Massive bologna. Two reasons. The turnaround this season was as surprising and as unexpected. Well, okay. Is that for this season or ever?
For this season.
Okay, this season. Bologna then. The turnaround this season on defense at U of L is as unexpected as anything we've covered in the last 10 years in this market. And that, I think that includes the COVID year with UK basketball. And so, no, it's baloney for that reason. The second reason is Scott Satterfield is loyal to either a fault or to a game, whatever you want, however you want to look at it. The man is loyal to his coaches, to his assistants, etc. So I will go baloney on that. I think that both of those factors, the turnaround this year and the loyalty on Scott Satterfield's part, play into that in a very serious way.
Yeah, I'm going to go baloney too. I don't think Satterfield will get fired. And I think that U of L would be foolish if they gave him an extension. He's got 3 years. Why do you have to do anything? He's got 2 years left on his contract. Let him play next year with these big-time recruits he supposedly has coming in. And then when he has a year left on his contract, then you have a better body of work to make a decision on. Do you extend him at that point or let him go? And because I think that Satterfield will be here next year, I expect, unless they get better offers, I expect all of his assistant coaches to be here as well.
Last one.
Okay, first of all, you just did like one of the most dad dances ever.
I love this song.
Yeah, it's catchy.
Do, 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 do.
I still want to remember what I typed in to find that.
Dad dance songs for Louis. I'm sure that's what you Googled, yeah.
Yeah, probably. All right, final question. Bologna or salami? Michigan wins the CFP.
Ooh. Ooh.
I really like that question. I like that question a lot.
So do I.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you go first here, Dan. I have very strong feelings about this.
This is
Avery paying attention to me for the last 3 months. That's exactly what this question is, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. Okay.
You see, I wanted something national.
Yeah. No, it's a very good question.
I'm going to go salami because of two things. Number one, Georgia has played some pretty ordinary teams, i.e. Kentucky.
Missouri.
Missouri, very good. To very close outcomes. Michigan just went in and beat down a very good Ohio State team. And for that reason, I think, and the latest CFP rankings came out last night, and Georgia's still number one, Michigan number two. But I think when the odds come out, Vegas might have Michigan the favorite.
Give me baloney. I've been a proponent of Michigan the entire season. They are not. We saw it last year. We're going to see it again this year. The two will meet at some point in the CFP, and Georgia will simply have bigger, faster, better dudes. And that's what we're going to see. And it is the new reality of college football is that a Georgia or an Alabama or a Clemson or whatever it is, that group, that year has the bigger, faster, better guys. And Michigan, while extraordinarily well coached this year, great scheme, dudes at lots of different all-stars at every position, Dan. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. They,
very, very good. What happens in the Big Ten is not up to the snuff of the SEC. And so I will go baloney. I will pick Georgia to win the national title. Good job.
Boy, Louis, you were full of baloney today. You took bologna on every one of them.
I went salami on, what was the first question?
Oh.
Hudson Card from Texas transferring to Kentucky.
Boom. Yeah. Bring that hair up here. Let's go.
All right.
You think he'll take any pictures doing L's down in a pool, Dan?
No.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well,
I'm pretty sure.
If I were one of those guys, I'd be doing that like every other day. Be great. Just the whole summer. Just L's down in the pool. Be great. Oh, all right, Dan. Well, Baloney Slavy, good job, Avery. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Avery.
You're welcome.
We keep asking Avery to do more and more stuff on the show. She's gonna ask for a raise or quit soon, I'm sure. This is Issel and Louie taking you up till noon. V-Show after us, of course. First Take at 3 o'clock, and, of course, that coverage tonight, women's basketball. Louisville versus Ohio State, pregame at 7, tip-off at 7:30, over on 93.9, all of that here. On our Era NFL play-by-play tomorrow, Patriots-Bills, interesting game, 7:30.
Finally, a decent Thursday night game.
It should be at least. And the Bills and the Patriots both played on Thanksgiving, so they both do get a week of rest. I like when they do that. And so that's here on 680, 105.7, and on the app. 93.9 will join at 8 o'clock, and that's tomorrow night here on our air. The Rich Gangarello stuff. So when you coached in the NBA, Dan, did you have an assistant who was dedicated to offense and one to defense, or did you just get guys that you had similar basketball philosophies with?
No, we didn't divide it up that way. We had three assistants. Well, we had four assistants, but Louie was so shy he wouldn't get up in front of the team and talk. Louie Dampier. Oh, so I had three other assistants, and every third game they would do the entire scouting report. And so they would be in charge for that game at shoot around of going through all of the plays, and then on the board in the pregame talk talking about some of the offense that they thought would work against. So no, we didn't divide it up offense defense. We just divided it up game by game.
So I texted you this news when it broke around noon yesterday.
Yes.
And your response was what?
Wow.
No, you had a very good response to this.
Oh.
Not wow. It's not wow.
It was five offensive coordinators in 5 years.
And,
is that what I
yes,
said?
Yes, and Stoops what?
I forget.
Stoops gets a raise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Five offensive coordinators. And, you know, that's the amazing part of this is that you know, you can throw somebody under the bus. And I'm not saying Scangarello didn't deserve to go.
Sure.
But it's kind of like Kenny Payne. I mean, you're an offensive coordinator with that offensive line. What are you supposed to do? I mean, you know, give me some players. Don't have my offensive line be a sieve, and then you expect me to score 40 points a game.
Yeah, right.
But it's amazing how he can throw Settle and Scangarello under the bus, and he is Teflon. Nobody blames him, or, as I said yesterday, Vince Morrow, our crack recruiter. they don't get mentioned. It's all Sangarello's problem. And how I've always said this, if you're a general manager in the NBA, you can usually outlive two head coaches. If you've got a really good relationship with the owner, maybe three. How Stoops can have five different. Now I understand some left to better their positions, but he's also two out of the last three, Grant and Scangarello, he's had to fire, and he was the one who hired him. So I don't know how this is supposed to fix everything, that Scangarello is gone and now the offense is going to be great. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to see an obvious path forward here. I think that's why they bring up Liam Cohen, right? Because at least there you have the track record. You have someone that had a good offense in the very recent past. Is there any chance
he Louis, he also had three offensive linemen that are playing in the NFL.
I totally agree. But I think he gets part credit for that, right? For their development, for making them into NFL players, no?
He was only here a year.
Okay, all right.
Can you make chicken salad or chicken poop into chicken salad in 1 year? I don't know.
I was wondering what you were going to do there. That's a fair point. Does he just hire Eddie Grant and go back to running the ball?
You can't run the ball if you don't have offensive linemen.
I know.
That's where you have to start.
I know.
And here's the other thing. Where did Kentucky get all of this football money? Do you know what they're going to pay Sangarella the next two if he doesn't get another job?
Go ahead.
$2.65 million. Over the next 2 years, that's what Rich is going to be sitting at home. Now, his contract says that he has to be active in finding another job. And if he gets another job, then whatever that salary is offset against the 265. But I remember when O.J. Simpson was looking for the real murderer, and if the murderer wasn't playing golf in Florida, O.J. wasn't running across him. So I'm thinking Sangarello's sitting at home the next 2 years getting $2.65 million for doing nothing.
Did you really just do that?
What?
Do you realize that was 28 years ago?
Well, I'm old. I have reference. I have points of reference, you know, that didn't happen on Snapchat yesterday. I have to go back. I have to go back in history to come up with them.
So, Texter wondering.
Did you see, by the way, how old were you when they had the Bronco chase at 5 miles an hour down the 405?
13.
Yeah, you should have been in middle school, high school, because my mom was in high school watching it on the TV during class. Because that's what they did back then, and also in Massachusetts, because we're insane.
Did you see it, Louie?
I did, of course, yeah. It was on, for some reason, my family was in town, my aunt and uncle. And so I even remember who was in the room. And did it interrupt? What did it interrupt?
Well, it was during the day.
Yeah, no, I know, but...
It interrupted my dinner. I remember that. We were...
there was a sporting event going on in 1994.
I remember. It's one of those things, like when President Kennedy was shot. It's one of those things you'll never forget. I mean, where you were. We were...
Oh, that's what it was. It was the Rockets... it was the NBA Finals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, we were watching the NBA Finals. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I was in, Sherry and I, Sheridan was at Northwestern, and we were in Chicago visiting her, and we were at a restaurant, and everybody in the restaurant got up and walked into the bar.
Sure.
And stood there and watched the Bronco go down the 405.
Yeah, no, it was a bizarre day for sure. And when you're 12, 13
I'm
years
sorry.
Old. No, you're good.
I'm sorry.
Texter wants to know, is there any chance that because Vince Merrill and Stoops have demonstrated success over the years, that the new pieces this year were the ones to blame for the new issues? And therefore, it makes sense to move on from Scangarello and the other
guys. My response to that is, let's make sure that last year wasn't an outlier. I mean, you're talking, you're Mark Story now talking about the full body of work. Their full body of work was a 10-win season last season. I mean, there are still a lot of things left unaccomplished in UK football.
Right.
So let's not say that Morrow and Stoops are the be-all, end-all in this.
I still think there's been... I can't do too much big picture talk on this, but I don't totally disagree with the Texter. I think that there is a chance that it was that the new guys didn't fit and that you can go get new guys and do it again. But I think it's more likely the scenario you laid out, that you had great talent for a couple of years and those guys excelled. I think that's absolutely the case. And so now, if Vince Merrill was part of their recruitment, then he gets credit for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's all I'll say. I think that there can be a middle ground on those things.
But you can't say Kentucky football won 10 games last year and Vince Morrow and Mark Stoops are great, and then have them completely left out of the conversation with what went wrong this year.
Oh, I don't think that's what the Texans doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think it's a. I don't think it's an if or. I think it's an if and. So yeah, including them as part of that conversation. So
yeah. Wow. But you know, the good thing is, Louis, we'll get to see next year. We'll see. We'll see where Kentucky lines up as far as South Carolina next year, Tennessee next year. I mean, seriously, if you were, I guess Rattler's back, but if you were one of these Hooker will move on to the NFL, I'm guessing. If you're one of these transfers that we've been talking about, are you more enamored with the Tennessee program today or the Kentucky program?
Tennessee, but you know, I was actually, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday after we went off the air. What are the chances that Tennessee was a flash in the pan this year?
Well, yeah, they could be.
For the same reason that you mentioned.
That Kentucky was a flash in the pan last year.
Right. Now, Tennessee has more of a pedigree, right? I think we all agree on that. But what is the chance that Heupel caught lightning in a bottle one time?
Could be.
And you know, and so I'm interested to see that. Did Shane Beamer catch lightning in a bottle at the end of the season? I mean, you know, so yeah, it's a man, oh man, bunch of texts, of course, on this. So on the same day, the New York Rangers were having the parade for the Stanley Cup. Arnold Palmer played his last ever round in the U.S. Open. There was an NBA Finals game, and Ken Griffey Jr. set a home run record. All during the O.J. chase. I was sick on the couch, Texter says, with the flu during the O.J. chase. I wasn't sure if I was having a NyQuil nightmare or if it was real. That's a great text. Oh, I appreciate all you people. I also think those are interesting questions because I think the SEC East for next year, since we still will have that division for Kentucky football, is, you know, does Florida improve year over year, right? Does Tennessee keep it going? I think they do just because of their pedigree, and I don't think I think that they're going to have stupid money for NIL and you know, that place full, and you go to, you know, as a recruit, you go to a game there. I mean, that's got to be just so, it's got to be awesome, right? I mean,
absolutely.
So, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, in those ways, it is what it is. But it is that's why this season for Kentucky football is so troubling, potentially, because if you did get passed by those programs and then you lose Will Levis, you know, Chris Rodriguez is not on the roster next year. You know, you got question marks now at, you know, on the offensive staff. That's why this may have been a critically bad year for Kentucky football. Now, hopefully it's not.
Exactly.
And multiple people sending in that the 30 for 30 on that day is really good, which means that I have to go watch it. And actually, I'm going to have some time the next couple of days, so I think I'll do that. But
the 30 for 30 on the OJ?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And just all the stuff going on around it. So,
yeah, I'll watch that. Yeah,
okay. And it was the kickoff day for the 94 World Cup hosted by the U.S. Wow! Jeez! Oh, man.
That's terrific.
Man, 1994 was lit. I like it. All right, so... All right. Yeah, this is this. We're taking you up to noon. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We will talk catalogs and JCPenney. Man, oh, man. I thought this one was interesting, but mostly because I think Dan can really speak to the changing demographic of how we shop. Second hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky, ky.deltadental.com. Individual, family, employee plans, whatever you might need. Nationwide network of dentists. They also offer those vision plans through VSP. All of it at ky.deltadental.com. JCPenney catalog was Dan Hoarder. Find out next.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back to Karaoke with Dan here on Issel and Louis.
I know that one. I know that one. Working 9 to 5.
Taking you up to noon here on 680-1057, ESPNLouisville.com, the app, your smart speaker, however you're hanging out with us this morning. We appreciate it. I'm Louis Rabeau, hanging out with Dan Issel. I'll be out the next 2 days. You get Mike Gandolfo, Horse Racing Happy Hour, in this seat the next 2 days. JCPenney, and it is. I was thinking about this the other day because I pass them all fairly often, and especially that JCPenney sits right next to the Waterson. You can really see it pretty prominently there at the top of the parking structure at Mall St. Matthews. So the catalog culture when you were a kid, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody got these things, right?
Right, yeah. You got, as I said earlier, you got the Sears Roebuck catalog, and you got the JCPenney catalog. My father, Louis, was a blue-collar worker. He was a painter. He had one suit, one dark suit, one white shirt, and one red tie that he ordered out of the JCPenney catalog. And for those, I mean, they were like the New York phone book. They were that thick. And in the back, they had a little thing you could rip out and fill out what you were ordering, and you could mail it in. And I'm sure we didn't get any of our clothes. We got our clothes at the, you know, at the five and dime.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, mom and dad would order once a year. They would order, and my dad would wear that suit to church every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the one suit he had that he ordered out of the JCPenney catalog.
So JCPenney was founded by James Cash Penny in Kemmerer, Wyoming in 1902.
Have you ever been to Kemmerer?
No, I have not.
I have.
Look at you. You haven't been to Niagara Falls, but you've been to Kemmerer, Wyoming.
Absolutely.
How about that? By 1929, so they founded the business in 1902. By 1929, on the eve of the stock market crash, they had 1,000 stores. Oh, that's amazing. Can you imagine the logistics of a store in 1929?
Yeah.
No. It's unbelievable, frankly.
No, to have 1,000 of them. And those were the stores. Those were the two places that you shopped, either Sears or JCPenney. And that was it. Those were the two.
Have you heard that expression before, the JCPenney thing?
No, but I feel like that's Dan's Times version of me calling Target Tarjay.
Right. Yes, that's exactly
that's
it.
That's exactly right.
No, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. So 1,600 stores.
I wasn't even aware that JCPenney was still in business.
Oh.
Sears is no longer in business, are they?
Yeah, they are.
Sears has a few stores left. JCPenney's also has a few stores left, but back in 2017-ish, they started shutting down stores.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to bring that up because I think the JCPenney catalog for you was similar to the Victoria's Secret catalog for me when I was a kid. Like, oh, that's what women look like. Got it. All right. There you go.
Have those ladies in their underwear.
Oh, Montgomery Ward. Man, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a great one.
Man, that's a good one. Text line. Thank you.
That's exactly right. Good job, Texter.
God, that's good. Montgomery Ward. When I was a kid, so Kmart is based out of Detroit area. And so when I was a kid, Kmart was the spot. They had the food court. You'd get the little slushy when you went. The whole thing. Like, Kmart was it. And then Meijer started up in West Michigan. And we have Meijer down here now in Louisville. And I had to ask my mom not to buy my shoes from Meijer after a while because I was getting crushed at school. I mean, just crushed at school. And so it's like, Mom, I can't go to school. And, man, there it is. I always felt text coming down. I always felt left out watching Cubs games and seeing the Montgomery Ward commercials. There it is. Maybe that's a northern thing. I don't know. Did they have? You didn't grow up down here, so I don't know. But like,
no, this is the first time I've even heard
of
that
Montgomery
store.
Ward. Okay, all right, okay, yeah, Montgomery Ward, dude. But Kmart was kind of our go-to spot. So up in, did you have any of these stores in Batavia, Dan? Was it big enough at the time?
No, and what I was referring to is when we didn't move. I was born in Batavia, well, Geneva, right next door, and I lived there till I was four, and then we moved to Missouri, and lived on a farm in Missouri from the time I was four until I think I was 11. And that's what I was referring to, because, you know, you could go. Batavia was only 40 miles from Chicago.
Right.
We didn't have any of these stores in Batavia, but they were close by. But I'm more referring to the 7 years that I lived in Missouri, when we weren't close to anything.
Right.
And we would order out of the Penney's and Sears catalog.
So Sewell Avery was the CEO of Montgomery Ward in the 40s. Do you know the story, Dan, that they had Kmart Little Caesars was the best coming down on text line? Could not agree more. Thank you very much. Man, there's some good ones. Kresge coming down. I don't know this store. Pamida? Dan, do you know that one? Pamida?
No,
I'll look that up, Texter. I apologize.
I do not.
Huh. That's one I don't know. The 12,000 workers at Montgomery Ward went on strike in April of 1944, and Sewell Avery refused to negotiate with them. So the Roosevelt administration sent the U.S. Army in, and they seized the offices.
Of Montgomery Ward?
How terrifying is that? Good Lord. They forced them to get together, because they weren't, remember, during World War II, like, you had to have these things operating, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know,
sure.
it was yeah. The War Labor Disputes Act came about in the because of that. Because Woolworth coming down to the text line, man, that's
yep.
good. That's
that,
a good one.
Woolworth was a five and dime. That wasn't so much clothes as what am I looking for? Not a drugstore, but
J.C. Whitney coming down as the auto mechanic. Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Oh, best of Montgomery Ward. Oh yeah. Yeah. All these coming down. Pamida. I gotta look up Pamida, man. That's bothering me actually. Pamida was a chain of department stores, 175 locations in 16 Midwestern and West Central U.S. states. It eventually merged with Shopko, and their headquarters were out of Omaha, Nebraska. How about that? All right. I like this stuff. I love what gets all the text on the text line, and it's always stuff like this. But yeah, no, the Kmart dude, like that was the jam. Meijer, when I was growing up, and I think they still have them, had the little penny mechanical horse that you could ride in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And that was a big deal for me growing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've probably got a picture of each of my children at age four on one of those things, you know, and so part of growing up, but
I'm sure the liability issue of that to remove most of the penny pony rides from
stores. I would hope not. Every town has their rich family, and so, you know, around here it's the Humana money and it's the Yum money and whatever else, and the Brown Foreman money, whatever. And where I grew up, there were two big enterprises. One of them was Amway.
Oh, yeah.
So those two families, their names are on everything in the downtown. If there's a theater, you know it's a Van Andel or a DeVos and all this stuff. Man, text coming in, and I know it's for the show across the hall, but if they were listening to me, and then Louisville better hire Scotty D. I don't want to start that fight. I can't be in the middle of that one. I like Scotty D too much, and I can't be in the middle of that one. Winn Dixie coming down on the text
line. I wouldn't wish that job on anybody right
now. but the Amway money and then the Meijer money was the other thing. And so if there are buildings in West Michigan, they're named after the Amway people. And then the Meijer family owned a huge swath of land east of town. And they just built a botanical gardens with a bunch of sculptures in it. And it's one of these incredible spots that, like, you only do if you just have money and you're like, I don't know what to do with all this money.
Yeah. So let's build a park and put sculptures
in it. It's great. Yeah. A store called Biggs in Middletown, B-I-G-G-S. All right. See, these are the things. This is the only part of living here when you're a transplant that you miss out on these stories, right? You get Avery's nodding because she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I've gone through this so many times, and I'm just like, what on earth are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
Like, literally everywhere I've moved to, they're just like, oh, it's by this old, like, the old place. And I'm like, okay, but what is the old place?
I have a joke with a friend who's a friend now. He's from here, and he has an imperative now. If he's giving me directions, he has to do it based on where something used to be that didn't exist even at the time of his birth. Because that's how long it goes back in this town. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, go to the Sears building. And it's like, Sears hasn't been in that building since prior to my birth. or go to it's where the blank used to be, and it's like that restaurant hasn't operated since the late 60s.
Yes, and all of the sign, like no way to know exactly where
right.
X place is. It's just like, okay, but yeah. how do I know where this is?
Coming down on the text line, Biggs was Meijer before Meijer. I like that. Okay, that makes sense.
Meijer is now a grocery store, isn't it?
Well, they have groceries on once. It is literally the West Michigan version of Walmart in that there's a grocery side and then there's a home goods and clothing. Everything's there. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so that's what I grew up on. We shopped at Meijer. We had local chains as well, but Meijer was like the spot. So but the article is about whether JCPenney can make a comeback or not. And here's the deal. Everyone thinks that people love the restaurant has an hours, and that is so freaking true. Damn has an hours, which has been out of business since like the Civil War. You jerks. And you make me go, oh, yeah, it's just past where the has an hours are. It doesn't exist. Stop it. Oh, my God. It's where the Austins used to be coming down on the text line. I can't even keep up. It's so great. 437-9680. UPS jobs text line. But no, it's with JCPenney, they're talking about can they make a comeback, and I don't think the going in person shopping thing will ever totally go away. I think there's value to it. I think people like doing it. And for instance, for me, the last couple of years, Dan, especially when we got the supply chain stuff during COVID and all that, I won't buy an appliance unless I can touch it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm done, because we were supposed to have something delivered to the house, and then a company that has a very large facility in the city, so I won't say bad things about it, wrote me an email 4 days before it was supposed to be delivered and said, we'll get it to you in 6 months. And so I sold all of the stock I had in the company that day and went to a store and bought something that I could actually lay my hands on. That's my new rule. And so there's value in that. However, the new JCPenney is Amazon.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it just is. You can get everything.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
and for less money for the most part. And
they bring it to your house.
As good.
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's a few things that I will not order online. Or if I do, like, I have to order it from the specific store because I just don't always trust online purchases. Like, my Apple products, I will not order from Amazon. I don't trust Amazon with that. I have to order directly from Apple or go to the Apple store. My shoes, I go directly to the store for the most part.
Hmm. Well, shoes are, I mean, you got to get shoes that fit.
Well, you see, my feet don't change. I know my size in shoes. So I'm typically good to go. But there are certain ones where I will go see in store if I'm iffy online. But for the most part, I like to go in store and try them on and actually see them.
I was going to say, I think there are certain things like that. Where there's still a value of being able to go do that. But no, it isn't that those things went away. They just shifted to where they are. Right. And so the warehouse is the new JCPenney. And so, you know, the delivery truck is the new JCPenney. It just shifted to where it is. And so, no, it's been an interesting sort of shift. And I'm glad everyone texted in. We literally got over 40 texts in the last 3.5 minutes. It's great. By the way, someone texting in, this is a person who lives down in Paducah and just wanted to say that they got to, as a little kid, got to go see you play for the Colonels, Dan, and that you were his grandfather's favorite player. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that nice?
That's very nice.
Isn't that
so
nice?
Appreciate that.
Can I tell one story that I was reminded when I talked about my dad's black suit? So, do you know who Neil Walk is?
Walk.
W-A-L-K.
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Neil Walk was an All-American player, center at the University of Florida.
Oh.
And he graduated the year before me.
Okay.
Here's Neil Walk's claim to fame. They had two new NBA teams, Milwaukee and Phoenix. And they flipped a coin to see who would get the first draft pick. Milwaukee won. And they drafted Kareem, at that time, Lou Alcindor. The Phoenix lost the coin flip, and their choice and their pick was Neil Walk.
Okay.
And so when my junior year, which we played Florida in Memorial Coliseum. And somebody got this great idea because Neil's father was kind of one of these bigger-than-life characters. And so somebody got the idea that it would be fun for my dad and Mr. Walk to sit together during the game. And the next day in the paper, here's a picture. Mr. Walk is standing up, yelling, and he's got on a flowered shirt that is open to his navel and as many gold chains as Mr. T. And my father is sitting there in his JCPenney suit with the red tie.
Oh, yeah.
And his legs crossed and no expression whatsoever. And after the game, a reporter asked my father, said, how come Mr. Walk was so demonstrative and up and showing all these emotion, and you just sat there? And my father said, because I knew we were going to win. But that was one of my favorite pictures of college, is my dad sitting there and Mr. Walk up yelling at an official or somebody.
That is the Batavia versus Miami Beach of those two guys, right?
Exactly.
So I put a picture of Neil Walk on the bottom of the show sheet, and I want you to go to the bottom of the show sheet, Dan,
okay,
and tell people what you see. By the way, Neil Walk's 41 is still retired at Florida. Like, he was that good of a college basketball player, so it's worth.
No, he was second. He was
right,
the second
pick in the draft for a reason. Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah, boy, Neil needed one of those grooming.
I cannot recommend enough. Go to Wikipedia and look at the picture of Neil Walk, and it's just shoulder hair and chest hair, and I don't know what that space between your chest and your shoulder is, but that man, I mean. He didn't need any sunscreen living in Miami Beach because he was covered up. We'll put it that way.
No, Neil was a heck of a player.
There you go.
He was a heck of a player.
That's great. He also played like 13 years in the league, so it's not like he just like flunked out.
No. But he, I'm not sure of the stats, Louie, but I don't think he quite approached Kareem's numbers.
He did not.
In his professional career.
Well, it was 12.5 and 7.5 in the NBA. So you can last a while doing that, but
career scoring.
Yep. But that is not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar numbers. You are correct.
No. Yep. No. Well, he was the booby prize in the coin flip.
You would have matched up with him a couple of times.
Yes.
In the pros, yeah. And so
definitely
college, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would have played against him in the pros four times, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
And,
yep.
And they beat us my sophomore year. Mm. They beat us at Florida, but I think Kentucky won the other three games.
Is Florida the underrated basketball program in SEC, like historically?
Yeah. Yeah,
they've had a bunch of good dudes, and obviously exactly. the titles, a couple, 15 years.
Yeah, back to back NCAA titles. Absolutely. And I think they'll be decent this year. I don't think they'll contend for the SEC championship.
That league is so deep, man.
Yeah. No, it's scary deep. Scary deep.
By the way, I can't figure out, Michigan State goes to Notre Dame in the Big Ten ACC Challenge tonight. And Michigan State is favored in Vegas, but the matchup predictor has Notre Dame winning. I cannot figure this game out.
Hmm.
And Notre Dame's most recent game was in a 12-point neutral site loss to St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
But Michigan State's got injuries, and they've been all over the world, frankly, playing. And so who knows if they're going to be tired or whatever. But it's a pretty easy bus trip to South Bend from East Lansing. So we'll see.
The one I'm watching tonight is North Carolina-Indiana. That ought to be a great game.
Jack, of course, will have that post-game show tonight around 11 o'clock. So make sure you tune in for that as well.
All right. Well, I hear the music. Louie, the next 2 days you will be out. We wish you best of luck with everything there. And Mike Gandolfo will be in. And, of course, tomorrow we will have Ben Roberts at 10:30 to talk all things UK basketball, and Jay Davis at 11. Just to talk all things. You're exactly right. And as I said, Mike Gandolfo will be sitting in. We'll talk a little picks with Pat on Friday and do some handicapping. So, Louie, enjoy your couple of days off.
Yeah.
This has been Issel and Louie on ESPN 680 105.7. We'll be back again tomorrow. We hope you are too. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.